Athens News Matters is sponsored in part by the WUGA Community Advisory Council, dedicated and involved individuals who help WUGA stay connected with our listeners, community organizations, and issues in the Athens area. Learn more at WUGA.org.
Today on Athens News Matters, candidate for Athens-Clarke County Mayor Sharon Miller on how she would work with county commissioners.
But I hope that it will be a respectable platform and that I could engage them to vote and get some things done on behalf of the citizenry.
Then, one of the first Black football players to join the UGA team remembers his childhood in Athens.
From the moment you wake up through the chaos of your busy morning, Morning Edition is there with you. Through All You Have to Do, we'll bring you all you need to know every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
This is Athens News Matters. I'm Laura Dua-Swartz. Sharon Miller is a native of Birmingham, Alabama, and a pastor in Athens. She's also one of five candidates to enter the race for mayor of Athens-Clarke County. She sat down with WUGA's Emma Auer to discuss what sets her apart from her opponents. Here's their conversation.
Can you tell me a little bit about your background and what's leading you to run for mayor?
I'm Sharon Miller. I hail from Birmingham, Alabama. The reason I landed in Georgia is that I am an ordained clergy. And in the beginning of my career, the Methodist Church framework and commitment is that we be trained. And so I ended coming to Georgia for school. And then my career, bivocational career, had taken off. And I've always had a BA in sociology, minor in psychology. I have always, in all of my career track, they've been related to the human experience and social services template. And my why in being in this mayoral race is simply is that I wanted to affect change, positive changes for the citizens of Athens. And that's why I'm in this race.
So something that's very top of mind for Athenians is housing affordability. I looked into it a little bit. The Census Bureau suggests that actually back in 2024, which is some of their latest data, the median gross rent in the county topped $1,200 per month. What would you do or what would you prioritize as mayor to increase options for affordable housing?
This thing about affordable housing is complex. And it will be onus on a new mayor. And if I am that elected person, I would first examine the various layers of homelessness. There's functional homelessness, there's unhoused, there's the veterans, there's everyday people, our service people who want housing, and that's more attainable housing. I would look at this thing about the future land map to see where there is land available, notwithstanding looking at the infrastructure. I think that's the issue now that we're dealing with. The rapid building, but the infrastructure of our city is failing. But I would look at that as a probability for single dwelling homes or this model, not tiny homes, but a little more integrated 650, 700 square foot home model for single dwelling persons and homeowners to give them a chance to for the American dream. We are dealing with a complex situation that the model of Athens has changed. The urbanization has come inside the city limits now. And those who are historically in the city have been pushed out. So the challenge is real. One of my first things that I would do is have an assessment and a summit with the homeless providers, kind of see what we're dealing with. I spoke with the veterans last week. They said there are hundreds of veterans who are homeless. And they ask if our developers could provide a percentage of housing for the veterans. And because we are dealing with the deficit, a new mayor will inherit that. I would have to examine what we're dealing with and look at layers of collaborations and make sure that we are honest in our commitment to those who are unhoused.
To continue on this topic of homelessness in our community, there was a point in time count that was done recently, and there's actually one that was published last year, I believe is the latest data, that says that nearly 300 people were considered unsheltered last year. And so experts say we've reached something of a crisis point. What do you think is the role of local government in solving this issue?
I think that the local government must be involved. We have a moral issue to get involved. But here's what I want the public to understand. There are homeless services being provided to those who are unhoused that oftentimes that money comes from the federal government. The local government has to be able to define in their budget allocations, community development. There are a lot of community development service and organizations in our city that are servicing the homeless. We have to just make sure we're not having duplication of services. We have to be able to be honest to make sure the implementation is being done. As a mayor, I would like to be innovative in finding resources outside of that budget because we find ourselves struggling over the budget. Somebody's going to get left out. We can't afford another death if the winter times come around the next season, but we have to deal with ways to deal with the homeless situation. There's a marvelous program that's going on in Atlanta that I've been looking at and examining called Impact 46. It is a narrative of a collaboration of the faith community that provides housing as a collective unit. And so we might have to get nonprofit organizations in our community to take a more proactive step to use their facilities to help decrease and deal with this matter of homelessness. It's complex, but we have to deal with it in a serious way.
The county is expected to grow by tens of thousands of residents in the coming decades. What do you think should be the county's approach to managing growth and development?
We have to make sure that we have the sustainability for growth. Now we're in a housing crisis, and yet there's growth all over the city, but it's unattainable to the regular and everyday residents. It's a complex situation, but we have to make sure that our sustainability is able to keep up with the rapid growth. There are other counties who do not have the homeless problem, and they're able to measure their growth. I think my responsibility as a mayor, if elected, is to safeguard. Although the mayor doesn't make the vote, it is the commissioners. I hope that my leadership will provide integrity and strength to give them the political strength to make the decisions that we need to safeguard the patterns of growth against the population so that we can have some balance. And I believe that we must reset to make sure that we can do that accurately for the future.
Well, going into a little bit more about what you just said, how do you envision working with the Commission of Athens-Clarke County?
Looking as from the outside, looking in as a citizen from this side, I sense that our commissioners have by nature gotten very comfortable in their position. That's a trusted seat that the residents put you in. And I think the level of decorum, the level of commitment to serve our residents is paramount. I want to be that type of leader through my leadership style to give them strength to make good decisions, sound decisions, not rush decisions to the highest bidder that comes before them, but to work cooperatively with them, I would. And I hope that my style and my track record can show that I would want us to be as unified. We have conflict. That's regular to the nature of being human. But I hope that it will be a respectable platform and that I could engage them to vote and get some things done on behalf of the citizenry. Now, I'm not a seasoned politician, but my platform says that I do understand the gamut of the human experience. My leadership, not only as an ordained clergy, but my skill base in working for a model of empowerment for the Atlanta Project, where I superintended three new municipalities, East Point, Hayfield, and College Park. So I'm not unprepared to govern. It seems that in political systems, if you have not been elected, somehow they cast you down as unqualified. It may mean, in some instances, that we need someone new. And so I want our citizens to think very critical about where we will be for the next 10, 20 years, because the mission statement of Athens-Clarke County says that we own the ownership, there's commissioners and the mayor, to safeguard the quality life for its citizens and to superintend the stewardship. Isn't that something about that word? The stewardship of the resources given to us for not only the current generation, but for future generations. I would be a mayor committed to make sure I leave the office on a sound footing for future generations.
Sharon Miller, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a delight for me to be here.
Sharon Miller is a pastor in Athens running for the mayor's seat in Athens-Clarke County. The election will be held on May 19th. This is Athens News Matters from WUGA.
I'm Tanya Mosley. There's so much news that it's hard to keep up, and many of those stories break in the middle of the day. Here and Now covers the news when you need it, so you're in the know.
Welcome back to Athens News Matters. I'm Laura Dewis-Wartz. The month of February is Black History Month, dedicated to defining and celebrating the achievements of African Americans in the U.S. This Black History Month, a string ensemble made up of musicians of color called Sphinx Virtuosi visited Athens. As WUGA's Emma Auer heard, perhaps the ensemble's most excited audience members in Athens were the city's youth. Here's her report.
The Sphinx Virtuosi brought some sounds to Athens that aren't usually heard in a performance of classical music. Take, for instance, the piece Impressions by Brazilian composer Clarice Assad, which fuses dance styles from Brazil with classical music. The Sphinx Virtuosi is a conductorless ensemble made up of Black and Latino musicians. At the University of Georgia's Performing Arts Center, they were joined by violinist Randall Gooseby before an excited house of students from the Clarke County School District. Gooseby introduced many of the young audience members to music by William Grant Still, a musician of the Harlem Renaissance during the 1920s and 1930s. Gooseby and the Sphinx Virtuosi also played classical renditions of pop music, which the kids got to sing along to. Gooseby says that when he performs for kids, he isn't necessarily interested in forming great musicians. He just wants to show that
music is for everyone, and it's something that even if you don't choose to go into as a career, it can bring a lot of positivity into your life in lots of different ways.
And the single most important thing he says young musicians can learn,
patience. I think the more experiences you have, the more you grow, the more you learn, the more people you meet, the more emotions you experience, the more you're able to put in to your music and to your instrument, and that takes time.
The Sphinx Virtuosi also took their visit to Athens off the stage and into Clarke County School District classrooms.
Three, four.
Chandra Switala is a violinist with the Sphinx Virtuosi, who helped lead an orchestra class at Cedar Shoals High School on the east side of Athens.
Oh man, it was fun. It's fun when the kids are just in it for the music and they see what you're doing. They're not even listening to your words. They just see how you're playing and they take it in and they do it.
Cesar Castro is a 12th grader and a violin player at Cedar Shoals. He says the visit from the ensemble helped him grasp the music in new ways.
I think it's important to learn from other perspectives how people teach a certain, you know, type of, I guess, bow stroke.
Fellow 12th grader and cellist Lexi Holiday agrees and says she learned a vital lesson about performing.
It talks about moving and getting into the music and not just having it be some robotic thing of you reading off the page, but actually feeling it and showing your emotion through it.
Pretty soon, these Cedar Shoals Orchestra members will participate in the large group performance evaluation, where outside judges will score them. Ryan Lopez, the orchestra teacher at Cedar Shoals, says his students are better prepared thanks to the Sphinx Virtuosi's visit.
I can also see it in their eyes from when they were working with them, like, oh, okay, like I saw a light bulb.
And for many other students in Athens, the Sphinx Virtuosi brought an exciting vision of what music can be. For WUGA, I'm Emma Auer.
The UGA Performing Arts Center is a fiscal underwriter of WUGA. The first black football players to join the University of Georgia team in 1971 recently screened a new documentary about their historic experiences. Horace King is a member of the original five, and his story is featured in The First Five, Legacy in Motion. He sat down with WUGA's Timothy Goldsmith to discuss his memories of UGA, as well as his childhood in Athens. Here's their conversation.
Just kind of overall introduce yourself.
My name is Horace Edward King. I grew up in Athens, Georgia, over on Henderson Extension. My time growing up as a kid digging in the garden, we raised most of our food during that time. We had chickens, had a couple of pigs, and a garden, collard greens, corn, black-eyed peas, butter beans. I was inside of the Athens city limits on a farm.
So you an Athens native, correct?
Yes, I am.
I want to talk about the documentary, right, that y'all had premiere on Sunday, on February 22nd.
Yeah.
So I just want to kind of know why you believe it was so important to kind of share your lived experiences with others.
Well, not a big history student or a big history buff. Appear to be now, the older I get, I like to read some information and stuff about history. You know, 1971, I go to University of Georgia, and we got five black guys there. You'd think the University of Georgia football team is HBCU today. So who would have ever thought that that transition would happen to this level or to this condition that it is today? Not that it's good, bad, or indifferent, but it's a wonderful thing to see and to look at and to have grown up there in Athens. You know, to selling Cokes at those games and one day playing playing at the University of Georgia. Who could have ever dreamed or thought that that would actually happen? I read an article about a guy named Paul Gibson played at the University of Houston and how he kind of got a scholarship to go to college. And that was one of my aspirations as a young person growing up and actually played well enough to make it happen. And I'm just so excited to have made that decision. Well, at least my mother made that decision that I go to Georgia. So it turned out to be a good choice.
It came up like a full circle moment for you, correct?
Yes, it did. It was a full circle kind of moment. It's a wonderful thing to have parents. They guide and direct you which way you should go, and my mother did that.
And you mentioned it was you and four other black football players. Do y'all still keep in contact, or just can you just tell me who they were as well?
Richard Appleby, Clarence Pope, Chuck Kennebrew, and Larry West. I guess about every 3 or 4 months, we just call each other on the phone and check to see how each other is doing, and, you know, has anything changed or health-wise or just what we're doing with family members and that type of a thing. We only kind of grew apart after we've each separated and left the University of Georgia and graduating and, you know, raising families, having careers and jobs and all of that. We was busy with that. And now think everybody's pretty much retired now, so we got opportunity to reconnect and share some stories of old history, because when we got there, we lived in the athletic dorm and we was in a suite together. It was four rooms to a suite there at McCourty Hall at that time. And what a wonderful experience that was there. But man, living in McCourty Hall and playing football at the University of Georgia, hey, I lived a dream.
What are some last impressions that you wanted others to kind of, like, get from it? Like, just from being able to share your stories to others who may not live during that era?
Well, you know, the 70s and 80s, well, most of the 60s and 70s were some challenging times. But we had H-Rap Brown and the Black Panthers. We had the KKK at the same time. We were breaking barriers. We were showing that integration could actually really work. Not that I want that tag on my shoulder. As my mother would tell me, you just go and be the best human being that you can be any, every day and all the time. As I share with people, I was raised. I didn't just grow up someplace. I had both my parents.
Why do you think it's important that other student athletes hear this story as well, or just some of the things you've been through?
Well, life has its challenges, and all of our challenges may be a little different, but not so gratefully different that we're all human beings walking on this earth, breathing the same air, walking on the same roads and concrete and grass, and sitting in the same chairs and seats, and the many things that we have to share with others as we live and grow in this society and this community or this environment that we're living in. Just be the best person that you could be. Befriend some other, make friends with some of the people that you go to school with, learn their name, where they come from, how they got to be where they are, what type of student they were. Those were the kind of things that became important to me as I, you know, in the school there at the University of Georgia. Those experiences shaped me, molded me, helped me to become the man I am today.
I just want to say thank you again. I appreciate you taking the time out.
And thank you for the invite and taking the time to hear me babble.
You've been listening to Athens News Matters from WUGA News. The opinions expressed on this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of WUGA or the University of Georgia. This week's show was produced by Emma Auer. If you missed a portion of this broadcast, Athens News Matters is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and at WUGA.org, and will be rebroadcast Monday evenings at 8. As always, thanks for listening, and stay with WUGA throughout the week for the latest in-depth local news.